Yeah, Father, we just thank you this morning that you are in our midst. Jesus, it's all about you. And we pray that you will be exalted this morning. We pray that you will be lifted up this morning. Oh God, thank you that you are in our midst this morning. And thank you that that you are working in our lives. And we just want to open our hearts this morning. God, we worship you. We say it's all about you. And we just trust you to do a deep work in our lives. You're so welcome. If you've got the guts, just open your heart. Just tell him, God, do a deep work in my heart. Do a deep work in my life. And Father God, we thank you that you are the potter. And we know that the potter works better with soft clay. And God, I pray for grace that we won't be a hard lump of clay, but that we will be soft clay, which the potter can shape into the likeness of Jesus. We welcome you. We thank you. Thank you that you've came to change lives. You changed water into wine. And God, we thank you for the new wine that you're pouring out in this church. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And of God, all of God's children say,
amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. This Bible is here somewhere. I'll put it there. I heard, you know, that sickness is working in this church. And suddenly my throat is not that good. Amen. Amen. Yeah, had such a great braai with my children last night. And we were sitting outside. It was so lekker, man. And but anyway, we trust God. I'm busy reading a book that says desperate times ask for desperate prayers. It's a book by John Eckert, and then he said that prophets and intercessors change history. You know, it's like, wow. You know, and he said, you know, Daniel, you know, one of my most favorite prophets, all of them are most favorite, but you know, Daniel, you know, he was there in what do you mean I've worked ballingskap? The exile. He was there in the exile. Like so many Jews, he ended up in the palace. You know, like Esther, you know Esther's story, and Moses and Joseph. But Daniel ended up, you know, in the palace. But you know, he had such a godly character. And and one day they said, you know, the only way that, you know, we can do something against this man is on his prayer life. So they made a law, you know, Daniel, no ways that you can, you know, pray. The only one that we can pray to is the king. And the next thing we see, you know, Daniel go against the law. Hello, are you still here? And he ended up in the lion's den. But you know, he had angels there. He had a better night's sleep than the king. And the king, you know, God, something worked in that king's heart that night. Because the next morning, he was the first one there. And he said, Daniel, was your king able to save you? And I want to tell you, we serve a God that is able to save us. Prophets and intercessors. So I just want to challenge you. You know, one of my big favorites in the Bible, I've got many favorites, but it's the father of our faith, Abraham. And when you go to Romans, it says about Abraham, he believed two things about God. The one thing that he believed is that God calls the things that are not as though they are. He's a prophetic God. You know what? Our problem is we speak the circumstances and then, you know, we can't understand why things don't change. No, we must speak prophetically over our circumstances, over our spouses. This is not my problem. You know, this I... She sent me to the doctor to, you know, do something here with this eye. But, you know, we need to speak prophetically over our spouses. We need to speak prophetically over our children. We need to speak prophetically over where we're going, our destiny. Are you still with me? You know, we're not here. We're not called to suffer, man. We're here to change history. You know, and that was Abraham's faith, and the second part of his faith, you know, when you read Hebrews 11, it says it as well, but I think it's Romans 4:17 that says, he believed that God makes alive that which is dead. You know, he was the first believer that believed in the resurrection. Abraham. You know, and guys, our faith is still that we believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we must believe that God can turn around that which is dead and bring life to it. Are you still with me? You know, if it's marriage, if it's your finances, if it's your business, you know, in what area you're struggling, God can make it alive. That is the God that you and I serve. He's a God of the turnaround. And we can just thank him. Say, God, I thank you that you're working in my life. I thank you that you're a God that turns things around. So, you know, Abraham, he went up the mountain with the miracle boy. You still remember the story of the miracle boy? Hello? You know, Abraham, you know, God told him, man, God said, you know, you will be a father of nations. You know, and God even changed his name from Abraham, A-B-R-A-M, to Abraham, which means he would be a father of many. You know, and then, you know, Abraham, he was communicating this with his wife, you know, his intimate secrets, you know, his faith, his expectation from God. He said, you know, God's going to change me, you know, into a father of many, you know. And, you know, and one day, you know, Sarah, you know, Sarki, she said, man, you know, I'm so moog about this story that you're telling me, you know, morning, noon, and night. Here's Hagar, here's my slave. Go and do what you need to go, you know. And Abraham, he thought it was good to help God out. Did you ever try to help God out? Usually the result is trouble. You know, and Abraham tried to help out God with his wife's instructions. You know what? And then Ishmael was born. And Ishmael is trouble. I don't need to tell you that. Ishmael is trouble. And then Abraham was 99 years old. I don't know how old was his wife, but she was barren. Okay, remember that. She was barren. Go read Genesis chapter 11. Sarah was barren. So AB was, you know, he was 99 years old. And then God come and visit them, you know, and Sarah was working there in the kitchen, getting everything, you know, right to entertain their guests. What's that word? Gastvrijheid? Hospitality. And, you know, and then the man, it was God. And God said to Abraham, this time next year, you will have a son. You know, and Sarah was like in the kitchen and she laughed. And You know, because faith means you, faith means action. Are you still with me? And I think, you know, Sarah was me and Abby getting in the bed. She laughed. But the chapter before that, Abraham also laughed. You know, and, but you know what? Scripture says, Abraham believed against all the odds. Are you still with me? Because this is for free. We haven't yet started the sermon.
Amen.
It says in the Afrikaans, Abraham het teen hoop op hoop geglo. He believed against the circumstances. You know, everything told him, this verby Abraham, you're not going to have a son. This thing that God promised you, it won't happen. And you know what? Abraham believed. Sarah believed. You know what? Their boy was born. The miracle boy was born. And you know what was his name? In Hebrew, it's laughter. Yitzchak. Isaac means laughter. You know what? And when the guys come over Sunday afternoon for coffee, you know, and they call the boy, hey, Yitzchak, comes here. Then everyone, oh, why is this boy's name laughter? So, okay, there's a story to it. But let me tell you, don't laugh at God. And this morning, I want to encourage you, work with God. Don't work with the circumstances. Are you still with me? Don't work with the circumstances. You know, what God says is true. You know, it says somewhere, His word has been, what's that word? Gelouter. 7 keer, soos goud gelouter. Can somebody help me with that translation? But you know what? His word is true. There's no lies in His word. We can trust His word. Jesus said, John 6:63, He says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, it wasn't just a fairy tale that God communicated to Abraham. Abraham trusted God against all the odds. You know what? And God came through for him. You know, you've got that scripture. Someone got it. Okay. Okay, so I just want to encourage you guys. You know what? And the other thing, you know, Abraham had endurance. You know, sometimes God make a promise to us and we're like, oh, that's okay. You know, usually it starts off like when God speaks to us, we are very excited. But you know what? The longer it goes on, you know, we got discouraged and we think, oh, you know, this thing's not going to happen. You know, and then we drop it. But keep it alive. We need endurance. Jesus het gesê, hy wat tot die einde toe volhard, sal gered word. He who endures until the end will be saved. So guys, I want to encourage you this morning. It's not always lekker to be a Christian. Hello? When you wake and you think, you know, everything is going wrong. Man, God is still there. God is working. You know what? And this God, you know, I remembered a long time ago. Ek was nog nat agter die ore, Dion. You know, still young. You know, I remember I did a sermon series on faith. And, you know, number 5 was, you know, there's 6 parts in this, you know, series. But number 5 was, when the dream died. It's not working out. God, you're going to say, I'm going to have a son. God, you say, this thing is going to happen. God, you say, I'm going to have a breakthrough. And when you look at the circumstances, that thing is as dead as, you see the English? It's dead as a doornail. Thank you very much. Okay. That thing is dead, man. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. It's dead. And then happens number 6. God resurrects it from the dead. You know what? God is the God of resurrection. As long as you and I think we can do it, we can make it happen, it won't happen. But when you know it's dead, God can do something about it. Are you still with me? So God is the God of the resurrection. And we can praise him as the God of the resurrection. Abraham went up that mountain, with his son's name, Isaac, and as they go up the mountain, he's like, Dad, something is wrong here. He said, you know, I'm carrying the wood. I've got the matches here. Where is the lamb? You know, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? You know, something is wrong here. And they go up that mountain. You remember, God spoke to Abraham that morning. You see, Genesis 22, early that morning, God spoke to him. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son. Not one of the 3,000 sons. Your only son. I want you to take him and sacrifice him as a burnt offering, you know, on the mountain that I will show you. They were 3 days into this journey. Then God said, there's the mountain. Asseblief. 3 days, God showed them. There's the mountain. You know what? And then, Abraham, he left behind, his servants and the donkey. And he told them, me and his son, we're going to worship God. And, there's a story about two pastors working together in one church. Actually, it's two dominees. And then the one dominee, hy het 'n beroep gekry. You know, but hierdie twee dominees het nie lekker saamgewerk nie. And the day, he gave his last sermon, he said, you know, you and the servant stay with the donkey. Me and the son, we're going to worship God. Thank you, Dion. The first time that we read the word worship in the Bible, you know, and Abram, you know, is obedient, he's going to sacrifice his son. And Abram, his answer was no lie, because, you know, his answer was filled with faith. He said, you know what? God will provide a lamb. God will provide a lamb. You know, he was prophesying. He was saying, God, I call the things that be not as though they are. You know, and prophecy in its most, you know, eenvoudigste vorm, most simplest form, is to speak words that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not my own idea. It's not a good idea. It's words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know what? And they went up that mountain. You know what happened there. You know, when Abram was ready, he had the knife, you know, to this guy's vein here. He was ready to slit that vein. And God said, no, don't do it. You know, and then he saw the ram. About 2,000 years later, Jesus was going up that same mountain. And he was also carrying the wood, carrying the cross. And you know, on that same mountain, God provided the lamb for you and for me. So don't help him. Don't help him, you know. Don't end up with an Ishmael. You know, the miracle boy takes a little bit longer. You still with me? It takes a little bit more faith. It asks for endurance. And that, at the end of the day, God will even test you on the miracle boy. Are you still with me? So guys, I want to encourage you this morning. Run the race with endurance. Run the race with endurance. You know, that day when you're down and out, know, you know, God is good. And He only does good. His character is that He is good. You know, sometimes He does things in our lives we don't like. Dus nou vanoggend daaroor praat. But even in those times, say, God, I choose to worship You. You are the God of life. You know, and what better place than Jesus said, you know, hallowed be thy name. Starts with his names. Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. You guide me. You know what? Actually, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What an incredible faith statement. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. And then he goes on. He says, you lead me, you know, to where the green grass is and where the still waters is. And then he says, incredible thing, David. He says something like, you lead me on the paths of righteousness which honors you the most. Man, God knows on which paths to lead us. He's my shepherd, you know. And then you can just go, you know, one of his names that I love so much is Yahweh Mikadesh. You know, he's the Lord that sanctifies us. He is the Lord that makes and changes and transforms me and you to look like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Man, I love that. Because that word sanctify or holy means to be set apart unto him. You know, and you can pray that, you know. Another one of his other names is Yahweh Shammah, which means the Lord is there. He's here. He's in our midst. God, I thank you. I worship you that you are the Lord who is in our midst. Are you still with me? So just lift up his name. When you don't have anything, starts with his name. You know, Jesus, his name means Savior. You know, and Jesus said, seven times he said, I am. You can use those names. You know, I am. My wife, she did, with a group of children, she did, how big Bob and the armor of God. And she taught them about Jesus, you know. And my grandson was also there, you know. So she taught them. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Ek is die weg. Ek is die waarheid. Ek is die lewe. En sy vra vir hom, want hy speel toe nou daar, you know, he's playing somewhere, you know. But his attention was, what is happening here? She said, wie is Jesus? Hy sê, hy is die weg, die waarheid en die lewe. He's alive. He's alive. So guys, I want to quickly jump in here and see where we get on speaking to you on the enabling grace of God. You know what? God is such a great God. He is such a righteous God. You know what? There's no evil in him. You know, he's righteous. You know, he knows who you are. He created you. You know, there's a calling on your life. You know, and he wants you to follow him. He wants you to do his will. And he's got a purpose for you. So we can just run with him, you know, trusting him that he will sort out the stuff, you know, while we are following him and while we are loving him. Goeiemôre. The first command is love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, everything, all your capacity, everything that you have. And guys, this is a love story. Love him. You know, and as we come, when we sing the songs, it's like, I love you. I remember, man, many moons ago, about 20 years ago, this one leader, he was like a spiritual father unto me. But he said, we must learn to enjoy him. That changed my life. You know, I ran into a twin the other day. Twins. I asked, what's your names? No, Mary and Martha. Okay. Because, you know, there's also the tension, always the tension of a Mary and a Martha in every one of us. You know what? Martha is busy with the dishes, you know, and she's ready, you know, to serve all the people that's here. And Mary, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we must balance that thing in our life. We must love him. We must love him with everything. We must be like a Mary, you know, sitting there at his feet, looking in his eyes, lovesick. Are you still with me? You know, and I think this Pause app is learning you guys to, you know, to be crazy about him, to love him. Man, it's all about loving him. You know, if we have lost the love somewhere, then we're struggling. And if we man, as ons nou die liefdesding verloor het, dat ek het nou in Afrikaans sê. But if we lost the love thing, you know, then we become legalistic. Oh man. En hoe weet jy jy's legalistic? Because you judging other Christians. You know, they not here every Sunday, and when we pray, where's the others that's not here? You know, you always complaining, you know. And you know, I pray 2 hours a day, but the others, they just pray 5 minutes a day, and then God give them all this stuff. You know, and me, I'm praying 2 hours a day, and God's not looking after me. So we don't want to become legalistic Christians. You know, don't go there. You know, sometimes just take that chapters that Jesus talk about the Pharisees. You know, we need to read those chapters. Why? Because we need to test our own hearts. Where am I? Am I a Pharisee? You know, it's easy to judge the Pharisees. You know? But Jesus said, don't judge. Okay? So we need to keep our hearts soft. Jesus, we said it this morning, works best with soft clay. We need to be soft clay in the hand of the potter. So we're going to start here at you know, God's enabling grace. And I believe what you guys are busy with, and I believe what God is working this year, is this thing about his enabling grace. I'm going to put it there. There you have it. You know, it says, receive his enabling grace so that you and I can live and manifest his God life in the now. Every day, every way, in every place and domain. So God is a God that you know, he empowers us. He enables us. God is not an unrighteous God. He won't ask you to do something, and he won't enable you and empower you to do it. Are you still with me? Okay. Let me run you through a simple story. You know, at the Elizabeth school, they said, okay, the dads are going for a bribe, you know, and you know, I'm in the car and she's with me, and I stop there at the shop, and you know, I tell Elizabeth, hey man, I've got a message or two that I need to attend to, but will you quickly jump out, buy me a lekker fillet and a coke? Okay, ladies, as ons manne braai, daar's nie bykosse en slaaie en sulke goeders nie. Nie as borde nie, ons eet sommer. You know, and then just before she gets out, then I, you know, I said, just wait a moment, and I get, you know, into my, and I give her this card. This is how God is. He's a righteous God. You know what? When he asks you to do something, he enables you. He empowers you to do it. You know, he's not unrighteous, you know. Okay, let's say spring uit kry dat pa, waarmee moet ek dit koop? Man, gaan net, ek is nie besig. He's not an unrighteous God. He's a righteous God. whatever he asks from you, he empowers you. He gives you the ability to be able to do it. Are you still with me? Now that is enabling grace, God's enabling grace. Run with him. Okay. Now, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Okay? You busy with you are working on Ephesians 3. It says, now, did we say we must manifest the God life now, in the now? Now to him who is able. Who is able? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or pray, according to the power that works within you. That power that works within you and me is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is, you know, that power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the power of resurrection. Okay. And that is the power that works in our lives, and you and I can work with that power. It makes alive that which is dead. So it's so important that that we work with the grace of God. I want to throw in a scripture here. Why don't you, brother? I want to throw in a scripture here. It's slide number 13. If you can quickly go there. You know, it's so important that you and I work with the grace of God. You know, how does the grace of God starts working in our lives? We experience the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, or, you know, if you like me, you know, I love the Word of God. I love to read, you know, and when I read there, ooh, then something just jumps up and it hits me between the eyes, you know. Okay, God is speaking to me, you know, pay attention, you know. So we are, our giftings make that we operate differently. But, you know, we know when God speaks to us. Hello? You don't know me, man. Okay, some, it's like a worship song, man. They are on their knees, they're before Jesus, you know. They have a close encounter with Jesus. So we need to work with the promptings of His Spirit. Okay, we need. I think one of the scriptures is that, you know, was it Paul? Paul, it's like, you know, it's Paul, you know, he had this encounter with God on the way to Damascus. You know, and then, you know, after that encounter he was blind. And then, you know, he went into the city. And then God spoke to this guy. What was his name again? Ananias. Ananias. Okay. We are now with somewhere. And God says, I want you to go and pray for this guy, Paul. And Ananias said, No. If I go there, my head is cut off. You know, and then God said to him, but you know what? I've called this guy and he's going to suffer a lot for the kingdom. And what does Ananias say? Yes. And he goes there and he lays his hand on Paul. He said, brother, he said, the Lord has sent me to pray for you that you can see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Ananias, you know, at the beginning he was like, there's no way I'm going to do it. And then God spoke to him because God is a righteous father, you know, and he said, yes, I'm going. And when he got there, you know, God could do what he wanted to do. So this 2 Corinthians 6, Paul is saying, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Are you still with me? What is grace? This, it's not die, ach, sies toch man, ek sal jou genadig wees en jou vergewe. No. Biblical grace is the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God is empowering us. This is not the ach, sies toch story. You know, that God is empowering us. And Paul says, I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. God can work in your life. God can prompt you. But if you say, no, I'm not going to work with it, the grace of God was in vain in your lives. You remember the 12 spies that went out? You know, God said to Moses, okay, get a leader from each tribe. And then the spies went, and they went to, you know, they did the rekkie. Army Owens was a rekkie geweest. Okay, you don't understand it? They went for a reconnaissance of the land. You know, they came into the land. They said it was big cities. It was fortified cities, you know, and stuff like that. And then they also saw this giants. And then they came back. God says, the land is yours. Are you still with me? He says, the land is yours. Go and possess the land. They came back. 10 of the spies says, there's not a way that we're going there. Only Joshua and Caleb said, you know what? Let's go. If God said so, He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. You still with me? God will make a way. God will make a way. And that's the part where we come that we need to trust Him. Are you still with me? Amen. That's another word for faith. We need to trust Him. We're going to say, God, I trust You. I put my trust in You that what You say, You do. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You still with me? You know what? This is part of Enoch's life. Enoch. The man who walked with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He says, for he who goes to God must first believe that He is. God is not an idea. You know what? You know, He's not captured to theological books. He's alive. He says, and the second thing says, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray in secret, when you pray to your Father in secret, your Father who listens to in the secret, He will reward you openly. God is a rewarder. Okay? Did God reward Joshua and Caleb? For sure. You know, the other 10, and that's what I pray. I said, God, please help me. Because what happened? They died in the wilderness. And I said, God, please help me that I won't die in the wilderness because of my unbelief. Of my unbelief not, you know, to work with His grace. It says there, verse 2, for He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now, we're back to now. It's a very strong prophetic word. Now is the accepted time. When God speaks to you, when you hear His voice, it is now the right time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, when God speaks to you, it's like, you know, God wants you to do it. Which is the best time to obey? The moment you hear His voice. Move with Him. Move with Him. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There was something on my heart. Okay. So we need to move with God. We need to move with His grace. Dion, who lot is that? Okay. We must bring this thing down. Okay. Hallelujah. So we need to live with Him. We need to run with Him. Don't let the grace of God is in vain. Say to Him, you know, beforehand, God, here I am. I want to run with You. I want to do what Your heart is for me. You know, Jesus said in John 15, He says, the branch must abide in the vine. Are you still with me? You know, when the branch abide in the vine, it bears fruit. And the not so good story of bearing fruit is, once you bear fruit, you know, then the farmer comes with the pruning scissors and you are pruned so that you can bear more fruit. Are you still with me? You know, yes. In Revelation 3, verse 20, this letter, it's the seventh letter being addressed to the church of Laodicea. And Jesus, you know, this church was accused that they are lukewarm. Hulle is nie aan die brand vir die Here. Maar hierdie kerk is aan die brand vir die Here, nê? And then Jesus said, 3:20, he says, I stand at the door. He's speaking to this church. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. You know, in their lukewarmness and all the stuff, you know, and their busyness. Can I say that word again? Busyness. You want to kill your quiet time? You know, be busy and do it very hastily. Okay. Ek oordeel niemand nie, ek help net mense. Okay. Okay, so Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. He says, I knock, eh? Okay, he's knocking. He said, I knock. He says, if someone hears my voice, you know what? Actually, he's calling out our name. He says, if you come to the door and you open the door, guess what? I will come in and commune with you. And I don't think they're going to eat braai vleis and braai. They're going to commune, you know, on the bread and the wine. Who he is. Jesus loves you. He loves us. He wants to commune with us. You know what? And whatever is killing that thing, you know, that he is knocking, and not only knocking, but he's calling out our names, he wants to come in. He wants to commune with us. So there's God enabling grace. You know, he is more than righteous. He told Moses, take these people out of Egypt. You know, Moses had 10,000 reasons why, you know, he couldn't do it. And then God revealed himself unto him. He said, Moses, my name is I Am That I Am. Moses, I will be everything for you to do my call, to do my will, to pursue my destiny. I will be everything that you will ever need on this journey. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's stand.